Let's turn our attention now on this Friday to the weather forecast. We're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. Hey, Eric, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
So let's start by talking about this blizzard in the Northern Plains. What's it like?
Yeah, well, this is round two, right? So round one basically painted a pretty heavy snow swath from Colorado to Nebraska, parts of northwestern Iowa, but certainly southeastern South Dakota, and then went toward the Great Lakes. And so that was round number one earlier this week, the pre-Thanksgiving storm, and now the post-Thanksgiving storm is cranking. And this one is a little bit larger in scope, although I don't think we'll have quite as fierce of winds around this one over us. But to the north, it is going to be some strong winds. They've got winter storm warnings that stretch from Montana to Wisconsin, and north-south, they go from Kansas clear up to North Dakota. So this is a big dog that's moving through the mid part of the country, and the potential for dropping quite a bit of snow across the Dakotas, Minnesota, parts of Nebraska, Wyoming. I mean, we're seeing maybe a foot of additional snowfall here. And the winds in that region are going to be nasty. So where we are, we're going to be on the south side of this initially. So we'll see rain throughout the day today here on Friday, kind of slowly spreading toward us from the south and west, such that by this evening, it's later on this afternoon, actually, by this evening, it'll be across much of central Illinois. And then that will push through the day, part of the day on Saturday. Then as the low wraps itself out, it's going to curl back over us here in central Illinois. We might even get a chance on Sunday for, a little bit of a wintry mix. So don't be surprised if on Sunday, if you're traveling home, anybody's traveling home around the state, we get some of the white stuff flying around. So that's this next system. We've had two powerhouse low pressure systems move through the country, and they've all been born out of California lately.
So we have not talked about much, at least yet. The polar vortex, is that in play this year?
It is. And what's interesting right now is that the pattern for a short while after these two big systems crank through is going to calm down in the mid part of the country. So depending on how much precip we do get, because we might maybe in parts of central Illinois pick up an inch of rain out of this next big system coming through. Well, after that, if things calm down and dry out, we can kind of help thank that pattern change to the polar vortex. And here's what I'm talking about. Right now, sitting over parts of North America, deep in the troposphere, that's the layer we live in, and at the base of the stratosphere, that's the next layer above us, the heights are building. In other words, the atmosphere is just pushing up real hard. And if it does that, that cold air that should be sitting there gets kind of just dumped off in either direction. Now, a year ago when that happened, back in January, the cold air split over Siberia, and it split right over us, and we dropped down ridiculously cold temperatures. Well, this time it's splitting more west to east in that regard. So it's going to be hitting like far western, eastern Russia, and also the other side, which is going to be in parts of Europe. And so this split that we're watching here is going to allow our pattern to relax for a little while and maybe give us some warmer weather as we move into the month of December. But that's all going to, remember, that's all going to rotate around. So at some point in mid-December, we're going to get a pretty good blast of some colder air as the polar vortex kind of thrashes about there deep in the upper layers of the atmosphere. So yeah, it's the first significant polar vortex event of, the end of 2019 and beginning of 2020.
Have you got an inkling of what the longer term forecast looks like?
You know, I do. I've spent the last month trying to build up this picture, and it's a lot of times what folks want out of meteorologists is like, all right, tell me exactly what the whole of winter is going to look like. But we know from experience that winter is never always just one way. So I honestly think that winter this year is going to show up in three acts. And I think we're in act one right now. And act one is dominated by, I think, two big things. One is the fact that we've got this polar vortex split that's happening. And the other part of it is the fact that the Indian Ocean dipole is still really cranked up into this positive mode. And so it's the thing that's affecting all of the moisture transport out of the tropics that's kind of cramming into California right now, that's running into Alaska, and that gave us a pretty volatile pattern, recently. So I think that's act one, and it's going to last for another few weeks here. So you're going to see California continue to get more and more precip. Now, what act two will begin once this polar vortex event shifts around and the Indian Ocean dipole begins to calm down. I think that's going to happen around the first of the year. And when that happens, that's going to change up our whole ocean dynamics pattern, and we're going to leave the North Pacific to be the more dominant feature. And when that occurs, I think we're going to see what we call a strong subtropical jet stream emerge. And that generally brings the West into a warmer regime, and that tends to really throw strong winds across the southern part of the United States that then race to the northeast. And that's a very active pattern. So we may go into a midwinter, very active pattern. Here's what I think Act 3 is going to be. In Act 3, I'm going to be watching off the west coast of South America, because when the Indian Ocean Dipole collapses and the warm North Pacific is the dominant feature, that's Act 2, I think we're going to have to watch the ocean temperatures just off of the west coast of South America to cool. And if they start to cool off, which there are some indications they may, that would send the end of our winter into more La Nina-like conditions. Now, if that happens, every farmer should be really excited for me to say those words for spring. And that's because if we can get there in spring with a bit of a La Nina going on, we may have a decent planting time period, unlike we've had last year. So that's my long-winded answer to your very short question as to how I think winter's going to play out. And I'm just going to tell you this. Whenever you think the pattern is settled into one regime, it's going to change, because this winter is going to be one that is quite volatile in terms of changing patterns.
Well, that is good news, at least on the La Nina part, because I was looking at dates for the all-day agricultural outlook, and I had three dates that were in mind. Usually we do it the first or the second week of March. The second week of March is a World Ag Supply and Demand Estimate report from USDA. None of the brokers want to be at the beef house on that day. That's the 10th. The third week of March, then, I moved to, which is the 17th, and I thought, you know, if we happen to have a really good spring and we're started and dry, given the lateness of this fall, I'll never be able to move farmers to the beef house. So we scheduled
it. Especially St. Patrick's Day.
So we scheduled it for the third day of March. That's just a heads up for folks. Now, you mentioned the dipole and South America. Can you put that into play as it relates to their crop conditions?
Yeah, this morning I had a phone call, exchange back and forth over the internet with a guy who's down in Brazil. Because when we look at some of the data, it would not suggest that things are terribly dry. Yet the conversation that I had with this guy was, he was saying, hey, you know, it's been raining, but it's not enough. Overall, the deficit that they carried in from the end of their winter now into their spring was substantial enough that it's not something that's been easily overcome. So what he says is, you know, it's like we talk about here in the U.S. where we say, well, how big is the garden spot here across the Midwest? He's just saying we got spotty reports of great conditions and we got spotty reports of bad conditions. It's not this one big uniform, you know, decent picture. Overall, the moisture transports out of the tropics into the northern hemisphere rather than feeding the Brazilian monsoon. So the place that was hit hardest earliest, which would have been like Mato Grosso do Sul, Minas Gerais, northern parts of Paraná, those areas over the next week to 10 days are actually going to be quite wet. And some places down there, they're trying to replant. So this has been a less than ideal planting season, especially compared to last year where they were done by now. I mean, they were flying getting the first crop soybeans in. And so the chatter that I'm hearing down there is that there's concern over how much and how aggressively they're going to go after Safrinha corn and Safrinha cotton, just given the conditions that they've had so far. But of course, that all comes back over to you and your expertise, which is, what will the market demand be? What will the prices be by the time we get into January? I will say this. When the Indian Ocean Dipole collapses, which more than likely will happen toward the end of this month, getting into January, okay? When that collapses, imagine it filling all back in over Australia. That will actually send the Mann-Julian Oscillation over probably into phases 3, 4, and 5. Now, why that matters for us is, if it gets over into phase 3, 4, and 5, that is also a drier pattern for Brazil. And if that occurs in January, well, that would be a critical time period for soybean pod filling. Now, I've strung together for you a sequence of events where if everything lines up, they have trouble. But remember, I'm looking out here 6 weeks in advance, and I'm just putting together the best meteorological picture. And at this point, my confidence in all of that lining up perfectly is low. Why I'm saying it is that if we need to watch for any adverse weather that's coming out of Brazil, it's going to be that, because we've already seen the delays they've had and the uneven moisture, stresses coming out of most of Brazil's major growing areas. So we've got a lot to watch down there, and it will certainly impact, I think, our markets as we move into the new year.
Hey, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible and Nutrien Ag Solutions. Join us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. There you'll find a link to the Illinois Farm Economic Summits and a way to register for those programs. I'll be on the road the week of December the 16th with the Ag Economist from the University of Illinois. The summits are a half-day event, and you'll learn from Scott Irwin and Todd Hubbs and Gary Schnitke and others all about the economics of farming in the state of Illinois. We'll be in Mount Vernon December the 16th, followed up by events on Tuesday in Springfield, East Peoria Wednesday, Thursday in DeKalb, and Friday right here in Champaign. You can register today at willag.org or at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.